Okay, just like the commercial. Okay, Proverbs 17, and look at the last verse, verse 28. Everybody there? Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. You know how kids like to talk, and especially when I'm trying to, you know, teach them something. I know the teachers of the academy through all the ages are like that. But if you really want to make people think you're smart, keep your mouth shut. That's in there. Okay? You want to be a virtuous woman? Proverbs 31. That teaches you, you've studied Proverbs 31, it teaches you how to be a virtuous woman. Okay? There's so much in here. This Bible says, children, obey your parents. This has got advice to fathers. It's got advice to mothers. It's got advice to husbands. It's got advice to wives. It's got advice to employers, to employees. I encourage you to read this book. You're not going to memorize it. I'm not a Bible scholar. I just open it up every morning. Well, Brother Jacobs, I don't understand it. Go to John chapter 11, please. John chapter 11. This will be the last reference I'll ask you to look up. John chapter 11. I think people that have read this book for quite a bit probably know where I'm going. Verse 35, two words. What's it say? Jesus wept. What's so hard to understand about that? Now, there's going to be stuff you don't understand. I'm not that good in memorization. But the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, when I'm witnessing, somebody brings things that I would have probably wouldn't have been able to remember to save my life any other way. I've never been good at memorization, but God puts this stuff in our hearts, and you have to trust the Holy Spirit as you read it. It's going to be in there, and God will know when to bring it out. So I know that this is a short but sweet message, but every student in the academy knows that this is one of my hot points. If you really want to know what God wants for you in your life, if you really want God to use you, get in this book, because it's your owner's manual. You're going to be useless without it. And you're going to be, you know, a Christian that doesn't know little things about the Bible. It's a shameful thing. So I read it every morning. It's first thing I take that back. I make myself a cup of coffee. Then I read my Bible. And if I don't feel like reading it by myself, I got a Bible program that's got audio Bible on it. It's got a very lovely dramatized version of the King James Bible. It gives me something to read with. Sometimes I don't feel like using the audio Bible, and I just read the words. But I ask the Lord to give me something, and He probably does every time, even though I may not realize it myself. He's putting it in there, down here. And He will give me opportunity to use it. It's a sad thing. I carry a New Testament with me all the time. When I come here to school, when I'm going shopping, because you never know if the Lord's going to put somebody in your path that asks you, hey, what's that black book? So, well, let me show you. So that's my message tonight. Get in that book. That's all I can. Just read it. I'm not asking you to memorize it. I'm not asking you to be Bible scholars. Just read it every day. Thank you very much.
In your life, there are going to be things that you have no idea what they're for. But if you read your owner's manual, your Bible, you will learn great things about what God can do for you and what God can do with you. Things He can change your life. But it also is to protect the vehicle, because if you use the wrong grade oil, it won't work as good. If you use the transmission oil inside the engine, it's not going to work. And so when you mix things up in your life that the Bible tells you are wrong for that, then you're going to suffer the consequences. You're going to need more repair. And some people say, well, why do I struggle so with my life, and why are some people happier? Maybe it's because they read their manual. That's why some people are more satisfied with their cars than other people are. Just some announcements. We have reached our goal in our mission giving, but that doesn't mean that if you have a heart for missions that you can't give or turn in a card yet that you haven't turned in. Things that we like to do for our missionaries is from time to time, we like to give them a little extra. Maybe I'll send them a birthday present, or at Christmas time we send them an extra month of offering. Things like that, that we do with the leftover money. It's not hoarded up in a bank account where we think we need to save it or hide it from people. No, we actually use that missions money, or sometimes like Brother Dorr will send a request. We're building a church in Mexico, and we could sure use some funds. And the church has sent $300, $400, $500 at a time to help them get going. So don't think that just because we reached our goal and you haven't turned in your card, turn in your card. That surplus is not going to waste. And it might even mean that we will take on a third missionary if you decide to give. And what a blessing it is to give. Visitation is Tuesday night at 5:30, Wednesday night at 7. Great time with the Word on Wednesday night, a good time to share your burdens with others and have others share burdens with you. And that is something that we would like to do. And then a week from Monday will be, the day after Valentine's, will be a day of rest for the teachers and for the students. I don't know if the students need it. I know the teachers need it. I don't know about the students. I think the teachers need it. Okay.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Those of you that came, thank you. Let's first open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I'm not fit to be up here. But I thank you for this time. I thank you for this, to be able to open and your holy word, Lord. And I just pray, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit would continue to work in me. Change me, Lord, the way you want me to be. I don't want to stay on milk. Like Pastor said this morning, I don't want to be that 46-year-old that still on drinking milk. I want to graduate, Lord, and be eating that meat. And Father, I just pray that those that came tonight, I pray as we open your holy word, you said, Lord, that your word doesn't return void. And so, Jesus, I just ask that you prepare hearts and ears. May it be a blessing to them as it was to me. And thank you, Lord, for everything. We ask this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, I know I got 10 minutes, so I figured I'm just going to do the Our Father. For those of you that are Catholic, who can stand up here? Who's are you guys Catholic? Can one of you stand up and recite the Our Father for us? I'm kidding. All right, I wanted to go over three C's, okay? The three C's. So tonight, it's about compromise, carnal, and Christian. All right, so if my voice flutters a little bit, I have no problem standing up, doing a presentation in front of directors and different engineers for what I do, and that's because I'm competent and confident in what I do. But tonight is different because obviously I'm dealing with God's holy word, and it's precious, so I don't take it lightly. So therefore, and I feel like a layman up here, but the Holy Spirit will give me that power and what to say. So again, if I flutter, please bear with me. I'm sorry. But anyways, first, let's look at compromising. Would you say that to compromise, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Bad thing? Yes, amen. And it depends, right? So it's one thing to compromise, let's say, with your spouse. If, hey, you know, where do you want to go eat today? You know, I feel like steak. My wife's always for pasta, right? And I always end up eating pasta. That's, you know. But it's another thing when, like you said, Brother Leo, from a spiritual standpoint, it would be lowering our standards. So it's a bad thing, right? Tony Evans said, compromise is the cancer of the church, and we must rid Christ's body of it. While Christians can compromise on preferences, let's just say like music or how you should dress or how long a service should be held for, they cannot compromise on principles. We can't be one way on Sunday and another on Monday. We shouldn't be, but the reality is we are. This is a major problem among Christians in America today. We don't take a stand. We don't keep our standards. We merely shift to satisfy society. I think of Aaron in Exodus 32, 1 through 8. So let's turn to Exodus, please. Exodus 32, verses 1 through 8. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and received them at their hand, and fashioned it with the graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now Aaron had seen God bring the 10 plagues on Egypt. He watched God part the Red Sea. He saw the pillar of fire and the cloud that God provided for Israel's protection in the wilderness, and many other wonderful works the Lord had done. But yet, Aaron compromised to the people's request. So sometimes, again, we have friends, we have family, and we compromise at times. Things we shouldn't do, things we shouldn't say, things we shouldn't hear or see. I heard a pastor once say, God is not a God of style, but a God of standard. What happened when Aaron's sons presented strange fire before the Lord? Died, right? Right then and there. Boom. So let's read Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. So I'm just going to read out loud as you guys are turning there to kind of save time here. Leviticus 10, 1 through 3. And Nadab and Abihu, I hope that's how you say his name, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. We need not to compromise. Look, example, many examples in the Bible, Samson compromised, right? He was a man of great moral weakness. He had a problem controlling his desires. David compromised. Looked upon a woman, Bathsheba, and what happened? He had Bathsheba's husband Uriah put up the front line, so what could happen? So he could be killed, so that David could take Bathsheba as his wife, right? Compromised. Who didn't compromise? I mean, again, there's many examples, but I happen to choose Daniel. If you get time, chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. but also Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Amen. A lot of people use, for some reason, Shadrach, Abednego, Meshach, right? But again, if you have time, if you want, Daniel chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Again, for the sake of time, I won't turn there. But those are really good examples. These young men didn't compromise. They stood firm, right? Respected. They respectfully stood firm. You know, they weren't obnoxious or belligerent or anything like that. But they stood firm, said, no, we're not going to compromise, you know? Amen for that. So anyways, we have examples on both sides. This brings me to being carnal. So in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 8, let's go there real quick, because I need to read that. Romans 8, 6 through 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So, what does carnal mean? Well, pertaining to or characterized by the flesh or the body, its passions and appetites, sensual, not spiritual, merely human, temporal, worldly. Carnality means to have the nature and characteristics of the flesh. So, in verse 7, we see that a carnal mind is enmity against God. And what does enmity mean? Pretty much just enemy. It suggests true hatred, either overt or concealed, hostility, animosity, a strong feeling, or dislike or hatred. This is very serious, folks. Let's turn to James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, 4. Brother, I'm trying to hurry. I'm sorry. Oh, okay, good. So, James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So, this is the devil hangs, basically I wrote down, the devil hangs carrots in front of us all. You know, he knows what our weaknesses are. He knows, but how should we or can we fight the devil? Amen, brother. With scripture from God's holy word. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I know it's a lot. I'll try to hurry. But Matthew chapter 4. Thank you. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then when Jesus led up, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. and the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Notice how the devil approached Jesus Christ when he was weak and hungry. You know, one, he tried to make Jesus compromise. Two, he then tried to con Jesus. And three, he tried to bribe Jesus. I want us to examine our own lives and see if we are compromising, if we are being conned, or finally, if we are being bribed in a certain way. All these will cause us to lower our spiritual standards and forfeit the Lord's blessings. Possible quick chastisement also from the Lord. And finally, I come across Christian, the word Christian. What makes us a Christian? Christ-like, right? In a sense, it's as simple as Romans 10, verses 9 through 11 and 13. So real quick, we'll turn there. Romans 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen, right? Thank you, Jesus. A Christian is someone whose behavior and heart reflects Jesus Christ. Followers of Jesus were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts chapter 11, verse 26. They were called Christians because their speech and behavior were like Christ. Is our speech, is our behavior like Christ? Sad to say, I know my walk with the Lord, I need sharpening. I need to get right at times, you know. I'd be a liar standing up here and say, oh, you know, I'm holier than thou, or I'm self-righteous. No, on the contrary, I'm a wicked sinner saved by grace. And I say, thank you, Jesus Christ, for forgiving me. But we need to go to him daily. Jesus says, die to thyself daily. Daily, you know. I don't know, sometimes I sit there and I ponder and I think, Lord, you know, And I know as I'm doing something wrong, I need to get right and ask the Holy Ghost to help me. Are all religions Christian? No, absolutely not. Why? Well, take the following for example. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. These are obvious because they reject Jesus Christ. They don't even acknowledge. Well, Islam acknowledges, they think Jesus is a prophet, but still, they reject our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What about Mormons, Catholics, and Jehovah's Witnesses? No. All these are false because they teach one must be saved through their own good works. Catholicism teaches seven sacraments that must be met before you go to heaven or purgatory or something, which, of course, purgatory, we know, does not exist. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses even go further with their heretical views and views and teachings on the most basic and essential Christian doctrines. So when we identify as Christians, I hope we understand that we are to be Christ-like. So how can we be like Christ? Brother, you said it. We need to read our Bibles. Amen. You know, if we don't read, we don't grow. It's a one-way communication. Brother, I don't know if you told me that. Somebody told me, you know, what it would be like to, you're married and only one of you talk. It's not a relationship. It's just a one-way conversation. You're only being told one thing, right? And how do we talk to Jesus? Well, through prayer, you know, we pray, whether it's on your knees or whether you're laying down. To have reverence, you should be on your knees, right? You don't have to be. You know, you don't have to be in church to be saved. I know many people got saved in their car or at home or whatever. But it's just one of those things that how does Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost speak to us? What's, like you said, brother, it's right here. So if we don't read and we don't study, we fall, we get stuck, we stay on milk. You know, that's the reality. And I look across over here, I see the young ones. You know, guys, hey, I ain't young no more. I ain't no spring chicken. I'm not no old fogey either, though. You know. But I will say, sometimes kids don't respect their elders for many different reasons. You know, people look at certain things, and depending demographically where we're raised, where we're brought up, certain kids won't respect people because they don't feel they're tough or whatever the case is, or they didn't live a certain lifestyle that they're in. But I just pray for you guys. I pray that you don't let the technology, these phones, this, like Pastor has in the prayer on Wednesday, I pray that the devil doesn't have a grip on you guys. I pray that you guys get in God's holy word, may it be real to you, not just a song and dance and a sales pitch that you think that somebody's trying to sell you on. It needs to be real. When you say, I'm a Christian, I think we use that word so loosely nowadays. I think, you know, you see TV, oh, he's a Christian, she's a Christian, just because they're wearing a cross around their neck. That don't mean nothing. That doesn't define a Christian. It's our actions. It's the old saying, you know, when somebody tells you, you know, it's just lip service, right? And your actions speak louder than words. Are we really getting in God's holy word, or are we just mouthing off? So, anyways, I appreciate the time. Thank you, Jesus Christ, again, for this time, for this opportunity. I pray that it was something that somebody could take with them. And we love you, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
All right. Just enough time for me to say 10 minutes worth or so. But God is going to continue to use the thoughts you've heard tonight in a way. What if you didn't remember anything from Brother Leo? You've had chance too. What about Brother Antonio, the message? Possibly something I say could still stir your heart in a way that'll make a difference for you. That's what coming to church should do. Do something to make a difference for tomorrow. For maybe next week you'll remember something. But that's the blessing of God's word. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And while you're doing that, my question is, what is Peter most famous for? What is Peter most famous for? What did you say, Brother Wayne? Putting his foot in his mouth. I didn't think of that one. But yes, he walked on water. But that's not what most people remember. Thank you, Bronson, for giving the positive. Oh, could you imagine denying Christ three times? Could you imagine the sinking part of Peter's walk and he didn't finish the walk? See, that's we tend to think, how could such failure? But like Bronson said, he was the only disciple that got out of the boat. He did do some walking. Wow. That's a pretty amazing. Brother Wayne said sticking his foot in his mouth. He was always one to be vocal. But what is the greatest achievement? He preached and thousands of people asked the Lord for forgiveness. See, we think, well, he did those negative things, but what about the great victories? With each failure, you can go back and look for a great victory that he accomplished. Every time he failed. What was the great victory for his denial? Do you remember just a few days before the trial and the crucifixion? Jesus got his disciples on the shore and said, "Eat, I've prepared this meal for you. And he asked them the question, who do people say that I am? And Peter was the only one of the disciples that answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. See, we need to focus on positive things. Yes, there are negative things that we need to avoid. Brother Antonio hit quite a few of them tonight. Brother Leo said, get in the Word of God. It's our strength. It's our guide, the owner's manual of how to live. Well, let's look at 1 Peter. I'm going to read the first 10 verses. 1 Peter 4. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Do you think like the Lord? The more scripture you have in your heart and mind, the more you're going to think like the Lord. He says, arm yourselves with the same mind. Continuing, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. What? You want to stop sinning? Suffer for the Lord. Suffer for the Lord. He suffered the entire sin debt of all mankind. His suffering was huge. He said, yeah, lots of people were crucified, but lots of people didn't have the weight of my sin and your sin. He suffered that. Verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. Now a great phrase, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Yeah, that's quite a list of failures. But he said the Gentiles do that. Oh, I forgot, I'm a Gentile. Anyone who's not Jewish is a Gentile. That's how many people live, isn't it? Verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excesses of riot, speaking evil of you. That's how the world should know a Christian's life is different. You don't act like it just described in verse 4. Because unsaved people, the Gentiles of the world, that's how they act. Well, that's how I was before I got saved at the age of 19. And I didn't get drunk. My dad did enough drinking for the whole family. But my life still was filled with sin until the Lord could change me. Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Yeah, we have a judgment coming. Amen. We do. Verse 6, for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. There's a change. Dead to the flesh, alive to the Spirit, and then he's going to describe what a life of living in the Spirit is coming up shortly. Verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober. That just means serious-minded. Don't be foolish. And watch unto prayer. That's a pretty good activity for a Christian to do. But then it goes on, verse 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Has your life reached the place where you're just charitable? Does the love of God flow out of you like it did to Jesus? He went from place to place, healing, doing miracles. People loved him. Have you ever thought through those stories? What if it was your family member that was dead, getting ready to be buried, and Jesus walked up and raised him from the dead? What would you have responded with? Well, the Lord saving my soul makes me respond in a way that I better be glad about it. But charity is a part of that. Paul said it's the greatest of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, meekness, temperance. But the greatest of all of those is charity. And Peter emphasizes it here. Let's continue, verse 9. Use hospitality one to another. Here's the kicker, without grudging. Can you be hospitable to people without grudging about it? Well, that takes a special victory in Christ. Verse 10. As every man hath received the gift. What gift did we get? The gift of eternal life. If you did what Antonio said and follow that Christian emphasis, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, is what it says somewhere else. Is it Acts, right? Acts 16:31. Use a message from Scripture, but be sure your salvation. And does your salvation reveal itself by the way we live and act? As every man hath received the gift, continuing in verse 10, even so minister the same one to another. Are you a blessing to other people? That's pretty simple. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know, none of us could have ever started thinking about how good God is if he didn't first give us his grace. You have to realize, God is a creator. He deserves us to give him glory. Animals do it automatically. But man, he gave us a living soul, and we have to decide, am I going to glorify God today, or am I going to live for myself? That choice every day. But if we're going to minister like it talks about with charity and being serious and watching in prayer, we have to have God's manifold grace to continue to do that and be thanking him every moment we can. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as to the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Why do I say amen so much? Because I like letting the preacher know that I think what he said is really good. Is it a habit? It's been a habit since probably Warner Robins, hasn't it? Because I had my 2 and 3-year-old son sitting next to me. And you know what they would do in the middle of church? Because they didn't like staying in the nursery. They sat still for the most part. They'd almost always say amen after me. About 2 seconds late. It's not just a habit. It has to be a joy of the heart to say, Pastor, what you just said is true. I believe it. So in a Baptist church, make some noise. The men's conference. I'm not the only one that says amen. Why is the word of God so real in your life that it has to ooze out of you? I'm extremely privileged to have spent lots of years teaching in Christian school. I don't have to go work in the world and be around people. Pray for Wayne a lot. He works with people that are so mean, lazy, You probably know some people like that too. Most all the Christian schools I've been in, people there to serve the Lord. What are you going to do to serve the Lord? I do it in Christian school. I do it in church. Some of you think I might like to sing a lot. I love to sing. Don't know how to wave my arm according to the exact beats. But I love singing for the Lord. I love fixing things around the church. Anybody else have desires to help? That little patch of grass that used to be rocks, I was not happy when they changed it to grass because now it's 80% weeds. And weeds grow worse than grass does. Takes about 10 or 15 minutes to cut. But it takes about 20 minutes to get ready to cut. Have to go back to the shed, get the electric lawnmower that Brother Leo gave to the church, or make sure the gas lawnmower, he also gave one of those, or the one that the church bought 2 years ago. Oh, doesn't always start. You get that starter fluid that I have in there, you can get that thing fired up and going. But it takes longer to go to the shed, get the mower out, walk it all the way to the front, cut the grass, and then take it all the way back to the shed and lock it up than it does to cut the grass. Wouldn't mind if somebody would help out with that. There are a lot of things that this church needs. Maybe you have some abilities. Maybe it's something you can do. Just say, I love serving the Lord. I've had the privilege to do it. I love doing it. But everybody who can help, that's what's so wonderful when we decorate it. There were lots of people here. Praise the Lord. There are still more people we could use to help clean the church. Have a 1 week every 3 or 4 weeks and just help keep the church clean. These are all things we can do to minister for our Savior. Are we thankful for the salvation we have? We have to support our pastor. It was a difficult span that time we had no pastor. Be supportive. Do everything, but not just so you can get credit, so that God can use you to be a blessing. Amen. And minister. And what happens? It might free someone else up to go door knocking for an extra hour a week. Then maybe a soul or two would really get saved. I'm just saying. God is going to continue to do great things. And if you study the scripture, we're supposed to be doing more of it as the day approaches of his return. So if you're doing a little, say, God, what else can I do that's a little more? I'm supposed to do it more the closer it gets to your return. And just keep doing everything you can to love God with all of your heart. So follow the instructions. Peter, I think, had the power of those victories because he lived what he told us to be living. He didn't get to live much longer after he wrote these words. He was arrested, and they were going to crucify him. And according to church tradition, a guy named Josephus was a Jewish historian, he recorded that Peter did not want to be crucified. That's how my Lord suffered for me. He said, I can't be crucified like that. So he requested to be crucified upside down. I don't know how that worked. He suffered. He died. Paul gave his life after serving the Lord in missions. He was killed. Most all the disciples. Every disciple except the Apostle John. And I just taught this to my class this week. Why did Jesus, when he's on the cross, tell John that Mary was going to be his mother to take care of? Why not one of his other younger half-brothers that they had with Mary and Joseph, Jesus' half-brothers? Why not one of them? Because Jesus knew all of those would be killed for the cause of Christ. And the Apostle John lived all the way through, longer than any of the other apostles. And Jesus knew he'd be around to take care of Mary until her needs were no longer needed, when her life would end. All those little details. God is doing great things. The details in our lives, let's dedicate them to him. So, Peter's power, read it again when you get home. God wants us to have his power, and he enables us as we permit. We choose. Permit. Let's pray. Father, again,